overcomers. Would you bow your head and with us ask the Lord to bless? Great eternal God, thank you for overcoming power. We ask, Lord, that you will bless everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. And when we leave here today, we'll have fresh courage, strength, inner renewal, and blessings. May the power of the Holy Spirit be in this message. Father, we depend upon you. And we ask these blessings in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. To qualify to be an overcomer, one must be victorious in the battles of life, in the circumstances, in the challenges that life poses. It's good to have an overcomer's mentality. Not a defeatist attitude. Those who have overcome great difficulties, had severe battles, even in military fields, they have honors for them. But in a spiritual sense, we have spiritual ancestors who have been great overcomers. One of them had overcoming mentality in the Old Testament. His name was Caleb. A man who was selected along with 11 other men to go out and spy the land of Canaan. These men were dispatched by Moses to go into different parts of the land that they were to possess. In the 13th chapter of Numbers, it tells of the different places that they went to spy out. And some of them, or maybe all of them, as they traveled together, they went to the mountains and they saw what was going on in the mountains. They went by the sea, the coast of Jordan, and all of them went to the south. So they got a picture of eye view of what was taking place in these different areas of the land in which they were to go over and possess. Now, there were two with a overcoming attitude, and they were 10 with a defeatist attitude. And they had opportunities to tell the people, and perhaps the people had been waiting anxiously for days and days to see what these men was going to come back and give a verbal report on what the land that they were to go in to possess was like. What the people like? What's the cities like? What is it over there? And as they gathered together, a multitude of them, there was thousands of these people that was eager probably to hear. They got to see the fruit of the land, great big grapes, and they had their reports to give. Well, 10 of those men had negative reports. And it incited something in the people. And when Caleb got his chance to speak in the 30th verse, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Perhaps when these ten men from these different tribes give their report, the people started to talking out loud. We can't do it. They were upset. And whatever they were doing, they were making it noisy. And Caleb wanted quiet. He stilled the people, which probably wasn't a very easy task to do when they were so excited or upset over what they had heard about this land that they were to possess. Well, anyway, he gives his report. 30th verse, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now here is 10 negative reports, and this report, let's go up. Let's not tarry. Let's not just keep on hashing it over how these people are over there and how they have cities and walled cities. Let's go now, because we're able to go and possess it. Let's go at once. You know, the longer that they would have hashed it over, maybe the worse things would have, it got out of hands anyway, because in the 14th chapter, the whole congregation ended up crying, and they had a defeatist attitude. They didn't have an overcoming attitude like Caleb did. But Caleb, through God's inspiration, through eyes of faith, with a positive overcoming mentality, he went into Canaan land, and they possessed it, and the 10 negative men stayed out of Canaan. They weren't allowed to go in, and they died in the wilderness. Caleb had an overcoming attitude. Jesus was the overcoming champion. He overcome everything that he faced in life, in death, and he overcome death. There is a song that gives the events, and before that song, there was the time when Jesus was approached in the wilderness after abstaining from food for 40 days and 40 nights. The enemy comes up with three successions, attempts to get Jesus to fail. Fourth chapter and first verse. And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and nights, he was afterwards a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, Jesus could have made these stones into bread. He could have satisfied his hunger by taking the suggestion and doing that. He could have made bread out of nothing. He wasn't making bread out of nothing. He wasn't making bread out of stone. He wasn't going to yield to the temptation or the attempt that the enemy made to him. So he didn't waver. He didn't back up, and there was other things that the enemy brought as suggestions to him down in this chapter. But every single time, he refrained and he did not take any of the suggestions. So the enemy was overcame by Jesus. He was an overcomer. In this Psalm 483, it tells you the events that happened in Jesus' life that he had to overcome. Now today, I do not know your battles altogether. I don't know them. I don't know what could tempt you. I don't know what you face on a day-to-day basis. But be of good courage. The one who stands with you is an overcomer. And it says, well, step back with us in time now, as it describes just before his trial, Jesus entered dark Gethsemane, leaving eight outside to Peter and two sons of Zebedee. Oh, the anguish in the garden, as again he left the three and he went a little farther, all the way to Calvary. Now, in this scene, in a garden, picture it in your mind. There's some men talking. And one of the men is Jesus. He's facing a very critical time. He is wanting within himself a way out of dying on the cross. These men didn't understand the weight, the pressure that was on Jesus. He had a little discussion with them, and he went a ways from them and fell on the ground and began to agonize in prayer. And his agony was so great that out of his pores of the body was bloody. You can actually get into a state where, and it's an extreme state. Remember, it said he sweat drops of blood. This was an agonizing time, and what he was agonizing was getting the victory over himself. Over his own flesh. The prayer was, if it be possible, allow the cup to pass. This was his flesh desiring, the cup to pass. The cup had death, humiliation. And it was a shame, rejection, and it was not going to be something easy for Jesus' flesh. It was going to cause his flesh to suffer, himself. And so he was agonizing there in the garden. He perhaps had some relief, and he went to his disciples and stood of them watching like he requested they do. They were asleep. Went to sleep on Jesus in the hour that he felt like, I would sure love to have somebody watching with me. I would like to have somebody's support. but they were sleeping instead of watching. Well, he was praying and he told them to watch. Well, he didn't have the victory over himself and his flesh like he felt like he needed. He went back again and he prayed again. And perhaps the burden got a little lighter. Have you ever went to prayer and prayed and you got a little ease, but it didn't just get the total burden lifted? And so he went after prayer again, and to his disciples the same thing. They were still sleeping, feeling the need of a strength and a release from his flesh wanting its way. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done," on all of those prayer times. "But if it be possible, an alternate way, Father." And that third time, the victory was his. He was able to go back to his disciples, and he was able to go out and to face the hours, the agony, the shame, the reproach, the rejection, and all that he was going to have to face. I'm glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. I'm so thankful. It was a hard thing. I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, pass." I'm glad he didn't call the angels. Are you glad today? Run my hand. Had it not been call Mount Calvary. Had it not been, think of it. Think of it. Think of Calvary. Think of the old rugged cross and a man called Jesus. Jesus. Forever. Says, "See him praying, hear him groaning. Death sweeps over him like a flood. Let this cup pass by me, Father. Sweat runs down as drops of blood. Not my will, Lord, I will drink it. Let thy will be done in me." And he went a little further, all the way to Calvary. And then it picks up when he's in the presence of Pilate. Then at Pilate's hall, behold him, as the mob who mocked him cry, "Away, away, give us Barabbas. Let this Christ be crucified." Would that be a difficult thing? To hear people saying, "Crucify him. O Barabbas, Jesus surely died for thee." When he went a little farther, all the way to Calvary. Then it takes up the event of him marching to Golgotha, scourged. They had beat him. They had slapped him. Adult men or women spit on him, bears the cross upon his shoulder, but he sinks beneath the heavy load. Mocked, reviled, by friends forsaken, all for you and all for me. And he went a little farther, all the way to Calvary. So Jesus got overcoming grace in the Garden of Gethsemane that enabled him through the power of the Spirit to go through these events without an attitude, without unforgiveness. He was able to forgive with forgiveness, and he was humiliated. They actually stripped people of their clothing and hanging the innocency of Christ in the view of the public eye. Wasn't an easy thing for him to go through all of this, but he was an overcomer. And even though they took his limp, dead body that had expired before normal through what all had taken place, bearing the sins of all humanity, brokenhearted, and then they taken him down off of the cross, bloody. They had a crown of thorns on his head, so there was maybe blood on the sides of his face that had streamed down. Ripped open his side, and there was blood that come out of there. His back had been beaten all the way down. Did he look like an overcomer? But he was. He was an overcomer. It was through that death that brought the end to the demonic powers of the devil over mankind. His chain was broken. That dead body looked like a defeated individual, but it was victory, a great victory. And when he was able, through the power of God in him, to come walking out of that grave, overcomer, they carried him in there, but he walked out. If they had had a host of army, thick around that place, they couldn't have kept Jesus in that tomb. He was coming out of there. That tomb was a place that was very temporary, and Jesus come forth out of that grave, an overcomer. And because he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and the enemy, and his flesh, you and I can be overcomers. You believe it? You mean you believe that you can overcome things in your life? You can overcome attitudes if people treat you wrong? Huh? Think you can overcome that? And when they do it on purpose? May God help us to have an overcomer mentality. I don't like to lose a game of tic-tac-toe. In California, I was playing that game with a grade schooler, and I wanted to win every game. I want a winner's, an overcomer mentality, not a defeatist. And so, Jesus overcame, and you can too, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You can be an overcomer. Believe this, folks, that it is possible for you to overcome your circumstances, your difficulties, and your hard places in life. God has got the plan for you to be an overcomer. Now, page 122 in your hymnal tells about if you're going to be a pillar in the church of God, You must overcome. What is the first thing it says? Overcome the world? Does that mean that you are able to keep the weeds out of your garden? Is that overcoming? What does it mean to overcome the world? The world. The world is, well, they have you ever heard of the sports world? We have a announcer comes on and says, we're going to have news from the sports world. Well, that don't mean that it's another planet out here. But the sports world is consisting of, they used to have something they call the wide world of sports. And it's consistent of basketball, football, baseball, tennis, hockey, soccer, swimming, shot put, track. That makes up the sports world. So when somebody comes on your news station and says, we have the sports news now from the sports world, we have sports news. They're talking about baseball or basketball or football. Those types of sports. Well, it's a world system. It's a system within the sports world. And their system is, and one person testified that they'd be more spiritual if they didn't have sports on Sunday. You think that's true? Well, they have a system, and their system is to get your dollar. That's it. And you know how they do it? By having winning teams. Because people like to do that. Go to see winning teams. And they will have a scout, say for football, they'll have a scout that goes to, let's say the Dallas Cowboys is going to have their quarterback retiring. And so they want a good replacement, right? So they'll go to a college campus and they will check out quarterbacks. And they'll take and study films probably of how they perform under pressure. See, this is part of the system of the sports world. Then you have the business world, you have the fashion world, medical world, and on, religious world. It's a system within these different types of things. So it says when you must overcome the world, the enemy has a system. You know what his system is? To get your soul. That's what he's after. These other worlds are after your dollars. But the enemy, his worldly system is to get your soul. And you know what he does? He has imps to spy out your weakness. He's got a system. You got to overcome it. This system of spying out your weakness and knowing what your weakness was. He knew that Jesus was hungry. Right? So he come after him with food. Make these stones food. Whatever your weakness is, the enemy will try to overthrow you in that weakness. So, if you're going to be a pillar, you don't have to raise your hand. But if anybody wants to be a pillar in the church of God, this was listed. You must overcome the world, the system of the enemy that has a plan to get your soul. And he is patient. He'll wait and wait and wait you out, trying to gain that particular victory over you and to cause you to be defeated. You must overcome the world. Die to fame and reputation. Take the path that Jesus trod. Lose your identity, your fame or reputation, and take the path that Jesus trod. Is there any wonder there's not more pillars than there is when this is to be like this? If you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must triumph over sin. You must triumph over sin and be cleansed from every evil through the Savior's precious blood, if you would be a pillar in the church of God. If you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must conquer in His name. Take the Holy Bible way and live beneath the cleansing flood. But listen to the reward of those that do that. If you'd be a pillar in the church of God, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white and eat the hidden manna in the realms of light. Reign on earth as kings with Jesus in the word we're told, and in heaven the grand prize. It's a prize to be clothed in white. It's a prize to eat the hidden manna. But the grand prize is to walk on the streets of gold. You want to be a pillar? This is the reason why there isn't more. Not everyone wants to take on no reputation and to walk that path that Jesus trod. We need more. May God help us that we will have people who are desiring to be pillars in the church of God. We have a need of them. There's a lack of them. Can you just name droves of pillars in the church of God? May God bless. We need overcomers. And one of the greatest things you can overcome is your own self. That's where Jesus had, where he sweat blood, was when he was wrestling with his own self. This is where you need great victory. To die to yourself and take God's way. Jesus did it, and I'll have to do it. And you'll have to do it also. Selfishness is what we were born with. We had a selfish nature when we come into this world. Didn't we? Wanting our way. What do children do to get their way? They manipulate. They manipulate their parents, their grandparents, to get their way. And so, to get victory over your own self is one of the, to be overcomer of your own self is one of the greatest things that you can ever. He that ruleth his own spirit is better than that one that taketh a city. We have an example of a selfish preacher. You know who I'm going to talk about? Jonah. He was handpicked to go preach a message that in a certain amount of days, that city was going to be destroyed. And Jonah, selfish, did not want to do what God wanted him to do. And you know what he did? a familiar story. He decided that I'll go a different direction. And so he went to this ship that was going to sail to Tarsus. He got in his wallet, money out, and he paid to get out of God's will. Money. He did. And he got on that ship. And they got out in the sea. And an awful, awful wind. A tempest. And I tell you, I was just relating how I got seasick. And it's an awful feeling to be sick. Seasick. And those sailors, they feared. Their life was at peril. And they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. And they knew he was the problem, and he knew he was the problem. He told them, just throw me overboard. They didn't want to do that. But the storm raged on. Maybe it intensified. And these men wanted their lives to be saved. So they did heave him overboard. And God in his timing, he was talking about Ruth today, prepared a big fish. And the timing of that fish to come when it did, right when Jonah was thrown overboard. It was large enough to swallow him up. And he didn't stay up here in the head part. On a plane, that'd be considered first class, wouldn't it? Or he didn't go back here. But he was here in the belly of this fish. You think it was comfortable? You think it was a pleasant place to be? I don't. Squeezing and trying to digest a full-grown man. Can you imagine what that would be like? It wasn't a pleasant. And why he waited 3 days. But he finally, and there were perhaps other things in here. I think they said seaweeds wrapped around him. And maybe this fish had had other fish before taking in Jonah. And here's these other fish swimming around, or floating around. And the fish can't digest them because it can't digest Jonah. So he had company in there perhaps. But it wasn't a pleasant thing. Selfishness got him there. It did. But after he prayed, the Lord caused that old fish to get so sick at his stomach. I don't know how far he was from the shore, but he was sick enough to get over here to the land and eject Jonah out. Jonah probably smelled terrible, looked terrible, felt terrible, but he was ready to go. He didn't lose any time, and he made it to Nineveh. And everyone that heard the message responded. That was thousands of people. Even the king come down and he got in sackcloth and he fasted. And God turned away the judgment in which he was going to rain down and destroy this whole city. He changed his mind. But this selfish preacher still was selfish. And if you read about it, after God turned, he said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Can you see the self reeking there? Here I said this, Lord, and I'm so angry because you're not following through. When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Can you see self in that? He reeked with self. And he went out and had a big pity party all by himself. And the sun was beating down on him and probably tears streaming down his eyes and maybe them red. And here he is out there angry and upset. And God allowed a gourd to come over and give him some shade. And then he allowed something to take the gourd out. And poor old Jonah, the last you hear of him, he was still selfish. The last that it said here, he was still selfish. Never did get over it. Do you know people live and die selfish? That thing that God touches in their life, they need to get rid of it, they ignore it and keep it. Oh, this isn't popular preaching, folks. You won't hear this in that mega church that she was telling about her friends that go to it. You won't hear this kind of a message there. But it's the kind of message that's needed there. It's the kind of message that's needed, because if you don't have victory over self, you're not going to have it over the enemy. What did the song say? My flesh recoiled before the cross. Flesh was drawing back. Myself was drawing back. And then what happened? Satan, what did he do? Did he stand back and say, oh, goody, goody. Their self is drawing back. Oh, he was happy. And then Satan whispered there. What did he say? Thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. The enemy, when flesh draws back, when yourself draws back, then the enemy can talk. Amen? Is that page 96? Before the cross? Read that verse. So see what happens when self draws back, like in those spies, they drew back. They wanted to stay away from Canaan. They drew back, and then they got in serious trouble. When yourself draws back from doing God's will, the devil's going to step in. And he's going to do some talking. And you can't out-talk him. Self is a monster. and it will give you trouble if it's not dying. And if it is dying, it still will give you trouble. To gain victory over self is a major overcomer. Major overcoming. Those who fail to respond to God's dealings with things in their life that self is clinging to, it's not good. The enemy knows it too. Self is your enemy. Your flesh is your enemy. Whatever form that it comes to you, however, whether it's something that you need in an attitude change or you need to do different in your life, when God puts his finger on that thing and you refuse to do it, then the enemy's going to start talking. And you're going to lose spiritual ground. The ones that will overcome the enemy is those who will die to their own self, their own flesh. And it's not popular. And if people was willing to do that, this house would overflow with people. It would. There was a place in California that got down to 7 people. And the preacher got a man to come, and he was going to get thousands of new people to come to that church. He said the first year you'll have 1,000, and then the next year, and I think it was 3 years, they'd have 25,000 people. Well, the first year they had it. Second year they had it. Third year they had it. They had the 25,000. You know how they did it? Give them what they want. And self wants. Ease. Comfort zones. You don't want to die. You don't want to suffer. But that's the way of the cross. That separates the men from the boys. Dying to self. It's not popular. It's not easy. But it is rewarding. May God help us today. This last week, have you been overcomer? Have you had a constant string of victories? Victory side and loss side. Monday, did you have victories? Tuesday, did you have the victory? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Did you have a constant string of victories, overcoming, overcoming, overcoming? Or was there some losses over here? Losses. One sister was telling about a man was rude on the highway and thought come to her, throw him a kiss. She refrained. If she had thrown him a kiss, she would have yielded to self. She refrained. Have you had overcoming week? His self died every day. Paul said he did it. May God help us. Pray for me. I need help to overcome my flesh. Your needs is different than mine. We have different needs. But may God help us to be overcomers. The prize is going to be worth it all, folks. If you have to eat humble pie every day, if you have to take rudeness. Or what if you just lay on the horn? Oh, they'll get the message then. What if Jesus split through the cloud when you're laying on the horn? Would you feel good? Some people like to justify anger. One person just recently said to me the scripture, be angry and sin not. I don't want to have anger in my heart when Jesus splits through the clouds. I don't want to be angry when I'm taking that last breath. When my heart's beating the last time, I don't want to be angry. I want to have total victory over self, the devil, circumstances, people, and whatever. Would you pray for me? Our Father, I acknowledge, and I'm not too proud to, that I need help to be an overcomer. We are all in the flesh. We ask you for power to submit to the will of God in our life, like Jesus did in the garden. Bless everyone here today to have that desire to be an overcomer. Not to be a mediocre Christian or have a profession and yet denying the power of God. We need you, Lord. Bless every young person to realize that self is not their friend. That the very requirement for discipleship was deny yourself, take up your cross. That's the very requirement for discipleship. And it's not only just a requirement for discipleship, it's a requirement for keeping on, that we must deny ourselves. We know this is not popular, and people do not like to do this, but heaven will be worth it all. You're worth it. And we ask you, Lord, that you will bless and undertake for each of us that we might be overcomers. Not overcome, but overcomers. Give us the power and strength to do. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you might sing that song.